Okay, good morning everyone. Parshas Naso here in Chutz Laretz, although, yeah, Jerry, you might have a problem, you get Chazarish here. Welcome back from Eretz Yisrael. Parshas Naso deals with three primary topics that we're going to speak about. In the beginning, just a little bit about the Levium, then the Parsha of the Sota, followed by the parish of Nazir. So those are the primary areas that the Ksava Kabbalah focuses on. Just as a way of a side note, maybe I'll try to put out to the group questions about what we're learning next year. I know most of you don't really care that much, but we'll see. I have to decide what we're learning. Next year, which one of the commentaries. Thinking about various things, maybe put it out in the email. See if people want to comment. The first piece, very special, where he talks about what the Levium, the job of the Levium. So we know, I'm sure we're familiar by this, we talk about this all the time, and that is that the Levium, one of the things the Levium would do is they would sing Shira in the Beis HaMikdash. The Levium would sing songs. While the Karbanos were being brought, the Levium's job was to sing songs. And it's interesting. You know, why is that something so significant as part of the avoda? As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the first source, Perek Daled, Pasuk Mem Zayin, so the pasuk says, "Miben Shloshim Shana V'Malo." The Levim worked from 30 to 50. Pretty good deal, right? They didn't start working till 30. Miben Shloshim Shana V'Malo V'Abed Chamishim Shana. Kol Haba La'Avod Avodas Avoda. What a funny phrase that is. Avodas avoda. What in the world does that mean? Anyone who comes avodas avoda. Take a look at Rashi on the bottom of the page. Rashi, avodas avoda. What's the avoda that is an avoda? What do you mean avoda that is an avoda? Says Rashi, hu hashir. That avodas avoda is a reference to the songs the Levium sang in Beis Hamikdash. Bimetzaltayim v'kinoros. With harps and triangles, shehu avoda la avoda acheres. The reason why it's called avodas avoda is because it's an avoda that accompanies an avoda. But as the Ksav HaKabbalah explains, again, he quotes here from Reish Beis Ches. I have no idea who that is. One of his friends, maybe it's the Bach. I don't know what it is. Avodas avoda. Hu ashir. He quotes from Rashi. Avodas avoda is the shir. Good morning, Gavi. Hu ashir. Ki kishem shehamitzvah avoda laHashem yisparach, just like the mitzvah of bringing karbanos, that itself is an avoda. Kein hasimcha ala mitzvah nikreis avoda. The joy that a Jew has while he's doing a mitzvah is itself a mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah. It's the joy that you have when you're doing a mitzvah. It's not a enhancer of a mitzvah, in itself is a mitzvah. That's why the Torah refers to it as avodas avoda. That you shouldn't think that it's just an enhancer to the avoda. In itself is its own avoda. And the Ksav HaKabbalah extrapolates from this, that's not just a din by karbon. It's a din by every mitzvah. That to do a mitzvah b'simcha is itself its own mitzvah. It's not just an enhancer of the other mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah. And he quotes from the pasuk, the famous pasuk. One second, he says, "Kamosh kasev tachas asher lo avartas Hashem elokecha b'simcha." The Torah says, "Why are you getting 98 curses in Parshas Kisavo? Because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. You weren't b'simcha about your Yiddishkeit. You weren't b'simcha. You didn't serve b'simcha." Now that pasuk says, "Lo avarta es Hashem elokecha b'simcha." So he's quoting that pasuk to show you that being oved Hashem b'simcha, that's called an avoda. And that itself is a very, very significant thing. It's not just an enhancer. The Torah is punishing you with 98 curses. You're going to eat the flesh of your own children. Why? Because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. Strange. It sounds like you did all the mitzvahs the right way, but you didn't do them b'simcha. You're going to get punished for that. It's not just an enhancer. That's very, very important here, that to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. And we understand why, but let's first read what he says. I'll come back to your point in a second. Hine hasimcha hi shleimus havoda. Simcha means doing God's service in a complete way. b'simcha, in a mental state that you're excited about it and you're all in. Lachain, hashir shehayu halavim mishorim, the song that the Levim would sing, le'orer ha-simcha al mitzvah hakrava. The goal of that song was to awaken simcha in the people about the mitzvah of being makriv the karban, kedelios maisa ha-mitzvah b'simcha, so that the act of the mitzvah should be done b'simcha. The Levim were trying to wake everybody up and sing and play music so that it should be b'simcha. That's why we have people who play music at chasanas, people who play music in various places, is in order to wake up the simcha. Nikra avodas avoda. And therefore it's called an avoda and avoda. Umikra malihu pasukin divrei yam and beis. Vahamishoyidim b'nei asaf al ma'amadam. Ein lahem lasu me'al avodasam. So you see the pasukin divrei yam refers to the mishorim. That's the singers. Should not leave their avoda. And this just reminds me, you want to add a point?
We could use that sort of double lashon on every mitzvah.
True. That's true. That's a good point. It's not just by Shira it's not just by avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, but every mitzvah is also, well, that's what the other pasuk was saying. Tachas shelvatashem lechekem b'simcha. But apparently the Levim, there was a special, you're right, so it sounds like, just from the pasuk, that there was a special mitzvah of simcha when it came to karbanos. There's something unique and special about karbanos. Maybe I'll say it like this. I was about to say as follows. A couple of weeks ago, the Rabbi Ben Yeshiva had a special zchus of hearing from Rav Usher Weiss. He spoke to the Rebbe's. So he talked about how a house is supposed to be patterned after a migdash. I'm sure I said this in the shir at the time because it was very special, very moving. So he said, we know every Jewish home is supposed to be modeled after Beis HaMikdash. That's why in the Beis HaMikdash there was a shulchan and a mizbeach and a shulchan, a mizbeach, and the aron. So the aron represents Torah. Every Jewish home has to have Torah. The shulchan represents chesed. That's the table of feeding. So every Jewish home has to have chesed. And the mizbeach represents avoda, which is tefillah and service of Hashem mitzvahs. So that's every Jewish home is patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. Just like there was a Shulchan, Mizbeach, and an Aron, every Jewish home has that. So he said, so what's the job of the Levim? There was Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash had two jobs. They were, I'll use his language, they were the Shoyadim and the Meshoyadim. That's what he said. The Shoyadim and the Meshoyadim. The gatekeepers and the singers. So what is every Jewish home? Every Jewish home needs a gatekeeper, which means you have to know what comes into the house and what doesn't come into the house. The gatekeeper has to make sure certain things don't come into the house. Certain things stay outside. And they're the mishorim, because every Jewish home also needs singers, needs singing, needs there to be a rejoicing and a positive spirit and feeling about the Judaism. So that's why every Jewish home has to have Levim. Because the Levim were the singers. They made sure that what was going on in the Beis HaMikdash was lichtig, was positive, was joyous. That was the job of the Levim. So every Jewish home needs parents who are going to make sure that it's a joyous experience for the children. That's what Rav Usher Weiss. He was talking about Rabbeim. He was talking about the job of Rabbeim. Rav Usher Weiss said, he said, throughout all of my schooling, I had two good Rebbes, he said. This is Rav Usher Weiss. Through all of elementary school, all of high school, he said he had two good Rebbes. And he said one time he was speaking somewhere and he was talking about these two good Rebbes, and one of them was in the crowd. He hadn't seen him in like 30 years. He was in the crowd. He came up to him afterwards. He said he didn't even know he was there. He was talking to the thousand people. He had no idea he was there. Exactly.
Anytime he sees one of his Rebbes, he goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're one of my two, right? He's lucky the other one wasn't there, right? Yeah, that's true. He said he had two good Rebbes. And the other thing, he was talking about simcha. He was talking about how important it was for a Rebbe that the Torah should be besimcha for the kids. So important how in the class, it has to be besimcha. The classroom has to be joyous. The learning has to be besimcha. This is what he said he remembers when he was in high school, I guess one of the other Rebbe's. He remembers in high school, and in high school, they used to bring this Rebbe in to speak, and he would talk to them about simcha, how you have to have simcha in your learning. That was his mushlish moves. It's got to be besimcha, the learning has to be besimcha. And he says, the guys all ask himself, what's those? If this guy has a doctorate in simcha, why does he never smile? They ask him. This rabbi comes to speak to him about simcha, but he's never, he himself is not, he's telling him about simcha, but he himself is morose. He's negative. He's always, he's got a scowl on his face. He's not happy. If he has a PhD in Simcha, this is what I said. If he's telling us about Simcha, how come he's never smiling? So if you're a parent and you're a Rebbe, so you got to be with Simcha. So that's why the Torah refers to Simcha as Avodas Avodah. But the Torah is trying to highlight and call attention to the fact that it's itself an Avodah. Avodas Avodah. Don't think it's just an enhancer. It's itself an Avodah. So let's see. Now let's talk a little bit about the Sota. Sota is a little bit less comfortable. A little bit less comfortable of a topic. Simcha is a great topic to talk about. The Sota is a little bit of a less comfortable topic to talk about. So, the first thing that he talks about, which I didn't fully comprehend, but I think I got the most important lesson from it. So take a look what the Torah introduces the Sota. So the Torah talks about, there's actually a lot of focus on the man when it comes to the Sota. A lot of focus on the husband.
Makes sense.
The husband has a very important responsibility when it comes to the Sota. And this is what I got out of it. Everyone tends to focus on the woman. I mean, she's the one who's cheating on her husband. She's the one who's hanging out with somebody who she shouldn't be hanging out with. And the husband suspects her. And the husband is the one who has to suspect her and bring her to Beis Din when things aren't going the right way. So it's interesting. I found the following points interesting. Let's see what he says. First of all, the Torah introduces this and says, is in on page 398, Pasuk Yud Beis, Parakei Pasuk Yud Beis. The Torah says, Dabra al-Bnei Samar Lem, Ish Ish Kitista Ishto. Ish Ish. Funny language. Take a look at the Ksav HaKabbalah. Ish Ish. Ayin Rashi, says the Ksav HaKabbalah. Ayin Rashi. Okay, he tells us to Ayin Rashi. So we should Ayin Rashi. Okay, Rashi says, if you don't give the matanos to the Kohen, you're going to have a problem with being a Sota. Wow, that's interesting. If you don't give the matanos, if you're stingy, so let me tell you my pshat on this. If you're stingy, your wife's going to end up being a Sota. What's the pshat? If you don't let your wife spend money, then you're going to have lack of shalom bias in the house. Because if your wife's going to end up not being happy in the house, not being comfortable. All right, that's my pshat. Anyway, but that's what Rashi says. Ish, ish. Ish, ish, because Rashi's pointing out that the parasha right before this talks about matnas kahuna. You have to give the kohen what he deserves. You have to, the zeror, the chayayim, and the keva, the trumas, the maisers, you have to pay. You have to be willing to give a big bal tzedakah, especially to the kohanim. You got to give them. So Rashi says, the reason why it's near the Sota is if you're a stingy guy, you don't give the kohanim what they deserve, you're going to end up, your wife's going to be a Sota. So my pshat is, if you're not appropriate with your money and giving to the people who you need to give and be a bal tzedakah, so then Mistama, you're also not going to be generous with your wife either. And Mistama, she's going to look for other places to have generous people who's going to be generous to her. That's my pshat. Okay. But then let's see what the Ksav HaKabbalah says. Ayin Rashi. Then he quotes from the Zohar. V'mechilta the Rashbi. That's the way the Ksav HaKabbalah refers to as the Zohar. V'mechilta the Rashbi. My ish ish, the habachad sagi. What's meant by ish ish? Because isn't one of them one ish enough? I'm going to need your help over here a little bit. Again, I got the Ella ish deihu ish vikayam kra dechsev shasa mayim mivorach ish legabe isise, that he's a man to his wife. What do you mean? Pirshu ish harishon. So what does the Zohar mean? Ish Harishon lekinui guf stami yiyeh mishiyeh, whoever he is, just the first ish means this can happen to anybody. Yiyeh mishiyeh kmo ish al yida veish hasheni al bal haisha kmo bein ish lishto. In other words, it's any man, but it's got to be a man who's a good husband. This can only happen to a man who's a good husband. Let me explain. Look what he says. I think that's what he means. How do I know? From the next line. Look what he says. The kavanasam, what the Zohar is hinting to here is the following. This is what the rabbis taught us on the pasuk at the very end of the parasha of Nazir, that the man has to be clean. Namely what? Say Chazal, im ha'ish menuka me'avon, shelo bo'al bi'ila asur mi'yamav, oz ha'mayim bodkin es ishto. Meaning that the water will only do its work on his wife if the man was clean from sin as well. Why is that significant? What's the significance of that? So what I think perhaps we could learn from that, which unfortunately we see all the time, that a lot of times marital strife begins not just stam because the woman is hanging out with other people. Why is the woman hanging out with other people? The woman's hanging out with other people because the husband is not giving the woman the appropriate attention. The husband happens all the time like that, unfortunately. Many times when a woman strays in marriage, it's because the husband is not giving her the right attention. So I think that's what is underneath the words here in the Ksav HaKavod. Maybe that's pshat in Drashas Chazal. If the ish is not menuka ma'avon, the mayim won't be bodkin es ishto. Not that we're condoning it, but you can't throw the whole book at the woman if the husband himself was a philanderer and that's how she became what she is. So you can't throw the book at her. You can't totally blame her. It's not the same level of blame. So the mayim are not going to be bodkin. So I think that the message for us is one of the importance of shalom bayis, the importance of and realizing where the problems begin. And he's gonna continue with this theme on the word tisteh. Take a look. And this is important that how important it is for the husband to only show honor and respect to his wife, to never show that kind of personal whatever it is to other women and to not begin with that and to make sure that there's not even any hints or allusions to any kind of care and attention to women outside the marriage. This is where things begin to break down. And it's tricky sometimes because you have to be respectful to everybody. You want to be respectful, you want to be a mensch. But there's a fine line between being a mensch and being too nice. So that's where things begin to break down. And he continues with these words. Ki tisteh. Funny word, sota. The whole word sota. What's the whole shorish of the word sota? It's the same pasuk. Dabra b'nei sa'atlem ish ish ki tisteh ishto u'ma'la vo'mal. What does that mean? A man is ki tisteh ishto. Says the Ksav HaKabal. What does tisteh ishto mean? Tat midarche tsnius. I'm going to read these two pieces quickly. Tamina tsnius v'techshad be'ena. This is from Rashi. And therefore, because she... This is the other piece of Musar. Really more for the women than for the men. But tat midarche tsnius, she veers from the derech of tsnius. And because she veers from the derech of tsnius, she becomes suspected in the eyes of her husband. Atechshad be'inav, kimo sata me'ala va'avor. Ki sata v'nata, says the Ksav HaKabal, the word sota comes from the word sata, to veer from the path. V'nata, nata also means to veer from the path. Says the Ksav HaKabal, sata and nata, shnei sharashim inyan echad. It's two different sharashim that have the same inyan. L'chem pirish rashi, tat midarche etzniz dachi apritzis. Because she starts to be a lack of tznius, that's what causes the suspicion. That's another important lesson, really more for the women, but for the men also, about tznius. Tznius is not just the way you dress. The Omar owed, V'atechshad be'inav k'tei lo'di ha'tam, l'ma herach ha'kosav l'omar ki tisteh. V'aydai l'ma ish ki tamomal. Well, yeah, what does that have to say tista? Amnam. Amar ki tista lodiya shestiasa midarchi hatsnias He garmala shetechshad be'enav. Abelah Mizrahi. So sometimes it's not even another man that's involved at the beginning. It's tam a lack of tznius. But again, I go back to two things. Okay, so there's two messages here. Number one, what's causing the lack of tznius? Now again, sometimes, especially as the summer months happen, so it's just a matter of being comfortable. There's no real tznius issue. It's just a question of being comfortable. But the Torah is teaching us here that a lack of tznius, which is not just about dress, it's also about privacy. It's about privacy. And our generation doesn't understand this so much, but the younger generation is having a tremendous issue with privacy now. Everything is just all out there. I mean, Facebook, everybody's broadcasting everything about their lives on Facebook. Everything. And like, if there isn't a picture of it, it didn't happen nowadays, right? If you don't have a picture of it, it's like it's worthless. So in every event that there's no picture of it, it's mamish. So we have to be careful about the messages that we're giving to our kids about what tznius means. It's not just about dress, but the Torah here is talking about that the beginnings of the problems happen when there's a behavior that's a veering from the normal, veering from the private. Shestiasa midachi atznius, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, it's her veering from the normal ways of privacy, that's what causes shetech shad ve'enam. V'nerele kinen achshat nechal gam ki miyos tesa sharoso netiyas. Ki shorosh nata b'muvan ha-musari inyano netiyas ha-das v'harotzon el achas ha-deos ha-machshavos. Mishnei deos chalugos. V'ruva moratim v'derech ha-yoshev ha-tov el ha-meukum v'ha-meuvo sara. It's going off the path. So someone could say, look, what's the big deal? I'm just trying to be a little more comfortable. I'm just trying to, you know, but the Torah is telling us that lack of tznius in the beginning calls attention to yourself. And once you're calling attention to yourself, again, not just about dress, but any way that you call attention to yourself in a little bit more of a out of the usual way, that's the beginning of problems. To call attention to yourself, that's the beginning of the problems.
Ukam Rama is
crooked. Correct, exactly.
From the word avon.
Ivos also means crooked. Muvas lo yuchal l'skon, also crooked. Yeah. All right. Kamo ki natu alecha rav de tagmo de chashi alecha bishta klomar charshu alecha ra ki charshi ra tagmo v'chashlin bishta lev charash machshavos tagmo lavo liba de chashil v'hu ba'atzmo inyan hachashad. Netiyas ha-machshava l'chiyuvas chaveiro. A chashad means where your mind begins to suspect your friend. When your friend starts to go off in a certain way, so your mind suspects. V'chein b'lashna rami, shorish, sat inyano ha-netiyah, tnuva v'atiltel, heina v'heina. Going off the path. Ka'amram ha-mesit es ha-zav o sha-hazav mesito, to move it. U'mizeh she'im sita, siyot, v'she'im sota, muskar b'tamad, hu-tor li'isha ha-chashuda, Lenetuya al derech ha-pritzus. Sota means a woman who is suspected of veering towards the path of pritzus. V'chein b'lashon tistet dekram uvano ho'ra'k fula. Ratzom shemen tiyasa. So he says, tist and the pasuk has a double language, double meaning, as he says a lot of times. So it's a little more, shemen tiyasa el ha-pritzus is two things. Her diverging causes your mind to diverge. That's what tist means. There's two diverging happening over here. She's going off the path, and that's causing your mind to go off the normal path and to be suspicious of her, of the direction that she's going. By her leaning towards pritzos, that's causing your mind to think that she's doing worse than she's doing. And that's why you continue to have suspicion. So I think that's one important point. And the second important point is really in the next piece. And that's where he says, what does it mean, ruach kina? Now, he's going to have a whole original pshat, because the Ksav HaKabbalah is always very original. So he says, take a look at Pasuk Yudalet. Very, very, very interesting. Very interesting. Va'avar olav ruach kina v'kina yisishna. Now, since we're little kids, we always understood the kina in this pasuk to mean jealousy. That's the way we always understood it. And if you look at the very end of the Ksavak, well, look at the next piece. Look at the very last line. He says, the very last line. V'hamafarshim. See the last line at the bottom? V'hamafarshim v'milshin kina, the parzalan dome l'shamakom, is kinin kina sishmeyehu. V'ein lano el, so that's going to be the pshat that he's going to reject. He's going to say, no, kina does not mean jealousy here. What does kina mean? He says by Eliyahu Navi, kano kinesi, take a look at what he says. He doesn't understand jealousy. Look what he says. Ruach kina, look at the first line. Ratzalomar, ruach tahara. He says that the husband who's going to get involved in a sota case, the husband is going to be suspicious of his wife and to accuse his wife and bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the water, has to be only for one reason and one reason only. It can only come from a place of tahara, of the husband wanting his home to be pure, of the husband wanting his home to be the right way.
That
and
is
he
the
says,
opposite of everything you ever heard.
So hang on. So exactly. But first of all, it goes back to what we said before, that it's only going to work if the husband himself lives a pure tzanua life, and if the husband has any hand at all. He's stressing the same thing again.
Rabbi, that's a little bit of a stretch, because it doesn't say the husband lives a pure life.
Take a look.
The husband is not guilty. He does the same thing.
Good.
The same thing. Exactly.
So let's see. Good. So let's see what he says here. Here he's going to stress it even more. Here he's going to take it even further. Good point.
Let's see.
He says, Rasulam ruach tahara, shehehu ubeso tahorim, unikim mikol chet va'avon. It's only going to work if he lives at a certain level. Well, listen to what he says. Ki kano yore b'loshan arami al taharas hadavar unikiyuso. In Aramaic, he says, kano is a language of purity. Like by Pinchas, b'kano es kinasi. Oh, v'yore gam al ha'azhara v'hasra. Now, kano also means that there's a warning. It's a warning. Kina also comes from a lashon of, what's that?
Kinui.
Yeah, exactly. Kinui yastir, correct. Why do people give warnings to people? Again, I think we have to try to abstract away from nowadays, because I think nowadays people are not so pure in their warnings. But he's telling you that, what's the point of a warning? Why does a Rebbe give a Talmud a warning? Why does a principal give a student a warning? What's the point of a warning? A good warning, the right kind of a warning. A lot of times people give warnings for the wrong things, that they're interested in their own power. But what's a Torah warning? What's the warning of the
Sota?
They
know that they're doing wrong. Well,
right. Because give them a chance. Because you want them to know, this is the way it should be. It's not going in the right direction. I want to bring you back. Right. I want to bring you back. You should know you're taking certain little steps that might end up, you may not realize where you're going with your steps. I want you to realize where you're going with it. But he stresses that point. The husband has to be coming from a point of pure tahara. There can't be any other agenda on the husband's mind. It can't be because the husband's jealous of somebody else. It can't be coming from a place. It's got to be. And he stresses this. That this is not me making it up. Look what he says. Ki ha-mechuvim ba'asar hu she'yiyah ha-musra noki v'tar mikol sig chet v'chalas avon. The kavana of the warner has to only be for one reason and one reason only, for the care and concern for the person that you're warning. There can't be any other agenda in warning aside from the personal, real, sincere care and concern for the other person. You can't let anything else get in your head when you're warning. And God knows if you ever, I shouldn't say, but I'm saying, you know, forget about just your wife. Anyone who you're trying to bring back to a Kalvachomer a million times on your wife, if you're going to try to, I mean, you know, I think most people, you have the rule, you're not going to be the one to give Musa to your wife. That's not going to work like that. That's not going to work like that.
It is a different situation. Usually there's more objectivity when there's warning. Here there's a lack of objectivity in many respects.
Exactly. So let's first talk about general warning. Let's talk about whenever you're trying to bring anybody else back. You're trying to give, let's take it out of marriage for a second. It'll make it, I think, easier to understand, because I think marriage is other things that complicate these things. But in a regular, any relationship that you have with anybody, and you see a person trying to start to go off to the wrong way, it's a very tricky dynamic of how you give Musa to somebody else, how you do that. So he's stressing over here, right? I think the Chazon Ish maybe said that nowadays there's nobody knows how to give Musa anymore, there's nobody knows how to take Musa anymore. Nobody knows how to give it, nobody knows how to take it. So, but let's think. You know, that doesn't mean that hochech tochich no longer applies, right? It just means that it's very rare how it applies, and you have to know exactly how to do it. You have to know how to do it. It's very difficult. So the Ksav HaKabbal here is stressing that whenever anyone is giving warning to somebody else about how they're messing up, number one, you got to be completely sure and pure of yourself, your own actions in this area, your own motives in this area, and it has to be totally from a place of purity. Kal v'chomer times a million if you're speaking to your wife about things. So let's see. Let's see what he says. Doma l'shorish zohar. Sheyora al hamara habahir. Yazhiru kizohar harakia. Hasra. V'yora gam al ha'azhara v'hasra. Key, right, interesting. So, lahazhir.
Those two words.
Well, lahazhir. Hasra'a is warning, is like lahazhir, which is to warn, which comes from a shorish. Very interesting, Herbie. Yes, right. He's saying that lahazhir, to warn, also has to think, is related to the word to be clear. Zohar means to shine.
Right.
The Zohar means light and to shine. So he's saying, if you're going to warn somebody, it's got to come from a place that you are shining with this midah of this purity. You are shining with a certain purity, and you're trying to get that person to shine too. Lahaz here, to warn. You warn somebody because you're trying to get them to shine. Herat Amais, I never thought of it like that, ever. That lahaz here means zihirus, means lahaz here means to warn somebody. But the warning has to come only strictly from a place of only wanting them to shine. And there can't be any of your own ego or your own, you know, your own mess ups. And a lot of times, right, people only warn people about things that they themselves have problems with, right? You only notice, generally, Gemara says, call out posel b'mumo posel. Usually, you only notice other people's deficiencies in areas that you also have a deficiency. So he's saying that can't be the case over here.
You could just say, most simply, the zahirus is that you're clarifying to that person that he's doing something wrong.
Oh, good, good. Well, let's see which way he goes. Good. Let's see. Good. But he begins with ruach tahara. Good, let's see. Good. Oh, you're saying you're bringing that to light. You're bringing that to light. Okay, good.
This is wrong what you're doing.
Good. Exactly. Ki al yidei ha'asra. Here he's saying what you're saying. Good. Ki al yidei ha'asra. Yisorer hamusre laleches beor haTorah, through the hasra, right? But I'm saying that even that he's saying can only really come from a person who himself is alight and on fire with that light. You're not going to be able to bring somebody else to that light if you yourself aren't good in that area. Like, is the person going to say, well, you yourself are not so great. Well, who are you to tell me that I should be better in this area? You yourself don't even understand what it means to be good in that area. So I think they're connected. But let's see. Ki ayidei ha'asra, right? No, wouldn't you say, isn't it a joke to try to point out something in somebody else if you yourself aren't correct in that way? I would think, look what he says. Ki ayidei ha'asra yisora musa lechus b'ora torah v'lo yikosh b'mushol lehaviel
esfachit. They say that as they do.
Exactly. V'shapir amru, ein kinoi el aloshin ha'asra, u'bali aloshin lo yorda b'zal das rabosenu, v'tam v'ovar alav ruach kina v'kinei, shekin aso b'ishto v'hasra aso ba, al tistri yimish ploni. What is he saying? What's he saying to her? I don't want to, you can't be alone with that man. Einana mitok schok v'sicha ba'alma. It can't be from a place of joking or just stam, not serious speech. It can't be from a place of kalus rosh, of lightheadedness, or just to be tough with her. Just to say, I don't want you hanging around with that guy because it's just lahat ala'ema. Ki im mitzad shenichnasa bo ruach kina. It has to be that a spirit of kina came in his mind. Ratzalomar ruach tahara. It's got to be a ruach of purity, that he himself feels a certain purity, and he's worried that his wife is going to end up going to a lack of purity. It's got to come from a good place, from a holy place, from a pure place. Umazir ba lahasira mikol michshol. Uvedivrei nachas umason, and with calm, peaceful, holy words. Rotze loholicha b'derech yishara liyosa tahora mikol chet v'avon. It's got to come from a place of purity, that you want to be pure, and you want to bring the other person to a place of purity. V'zeo shama reish sota, listen to this Gemara in the beginning of Sota. Ein adam mikano le'ishto, elem kein nichnas bo ruach tahara. That's what the Gemara says, unbelievable. That a person cannot do it unless there's a spirit of purity in himself. Wow. And then he goes on to talk about this a lot. Maybe you could do the rest of this piece for homework. I think he just really repeats a lot of the same idea. But to me, that was very powerful. Very powerful. It's actually taking the idea that we said beforehand, right, that it can't be that he was Mizana. Okay, that's one level. But now he's taking it much further, I think, Barry. He's taking it much further. He's saying it's not just that the Sota is going to work if he himself never committed an Avera of Arias. Now he's going much further. He's saying that the whole approach to Shalom Bayis, and this is in general, I'll just give you another amazing story about this. Again, you'll do the rest for homework. This is really what this says. I mean, maybe you're not going to like this, but, maybe you will. This is incredible. We once had there's a principal of a high school in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rav Dov Zinger. He's the principal of one of these Steinsaltz yeshivas. He has a very interesting out of the box kind of a high school where there's like 600 people waiting list to get into this high school. It's called Mekor Chaim. Mekor Chaim. It's the kind of place where they really encourage the kids' creativity, and like it's a lot of music, and there's a lot of he's very, very out of the box educator, Rav Dov Zinger. So he once came to speak to the Rebbe's here. So he said that there's very much the honor system there. Like they don't supervise the kids in terms of cheating and stuff. It's the honor system. Everything's the honor. They try to really work with the kids. You have to be honorable, and it's all about your own growth. And why would you cheat yourself? You have to learn, it's very interesting ideas. Anyway, so they said one time they had a maisa. One time, like there was the talk among the boys that there was a certain kid who was dishonest. There was a rumor that a kid was dishonest there. And like apparently it's unheard of in this place. Unheard of that a kid should be dishonest. So what did they do? They had all the Rebbes, the 16 Rebbes got together, and they had a 10-minute Seder before davening on honesty. The Rebbes, amongst themselves, we have to be mechazik, the honesty in the yeshiva. The Rebbes had a 10-minute Seder on honesty before davening. And when the kids would walk in, they'd see the Rabbeim tumbling about honesty, that they're talking about the importance of honesty. That's the way they fixed, that's why he said they fixed the problem.
Try it here.
So, what's my point? By the way, he said this to the rabbis in yeshiva, like there was not a, there was, it was like yeah. every mouth was like, dropped open. This is the idea that if you have a problem, first fix yourself. That's the way you fix the problem. You want to fix the problem, fix yourself. So anyway, they talk about this in companies. They talk about, all the people talk about how culture of companies and culture of schools. If you want a certain culture in the school, you want a culture of a school where the kids treat each other with respect, it starts with the staff. The staff has to treat each other with respect. Teach by example. Exactly right. Exactly right. So that's what he's saying over here about Sota. The Sota has to come from a Ruach Kina, which is a Ruach Tahara. It's not just that person wants to fix. It's not just about fixing the other person. If you want to fix the other person, you got to make sure that you yourself are fixed also. There's a whole bunch of makoros about that. That's Ruach Kina, And that's also the idea over here.
They teach them brachas because if they teach them sota, it's too late.
Okay. That's true. Very good, Barry. And at the end, he just talks about the nazir. The nazir just talks about how if you want to really become somebody closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the physical pleasures and the taivas have to be limited. And it's interesting. I'll just share with you one quick thing. Va'achar yishta ha-nazir yayin. Va'achar. When he's finished with his naziris, the nazir, why are you still calling him a nazir? He's done with his naziris. So says the Ksava Kabbalah, a person who takes upon himself to lower his physical taivas, hopefully, even after he's done, it'll stick with him. Even the lessons that he learned from being a nazir, the goal is it should stick with him even afterwards. That's why it says, Va'achar yishta ha-nazir yayin. What do you mean? He's not a nazir anymore. No. But the separation from Gashmius. Again, Judaism doesn't believe in negating Gashmius, but we believe it should be in moderation. In moderation. Sometimes, you know, we get carried away with Gashmius, I think. We do a lot more than we need. A lot more than we need. So that's the message of the Nazir is not that we should abstain from Gashmius, but it should be moderation, so that should stick with you even afterwards. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and hopefully we should learn all these lessons of moderation and that we ourselves should be the models of what we want to change in others.